It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Wisconsin Historical Society's Ojibwe Storytelling Series, it showcases winter storytelling season. This is an ancient art passed from one generation to the next in Native communities. And the series, it features four women storytellers and concludes Tuesday. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Liz Arbuckle is a senior member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribal Council and Northern Outreach Coordinator for the Wisconsin Historical Society. Liz, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, bring us closer to winter, if you will. Why is it a special time for storytelling in Ojibwe culture?
Right. This is, it's our storytelling season for a few reasons, right? I've heard a few different stories about why we choose to do this, but I'm going to get one out of the way, first of all, which is the practical side of things, right? So back in the day, you know, survival was key. And we didn't have grocery stores or anything nearby. So you had to make hay while the sun shined, to use an expression, and get your resources, get your rice, your maple syrup, everything ready for winter. And then when winter came, which was harder to find food, harder to be out, you know, it was a time where you could relax and share stories and teachings. So some of that is the logical, or, you know, I guess what you would think of as that. Mm-hmm. And then another aspect is there's some stories we can only tell in winter. And as I've been told, it's because that's the quiet time. That's when lots of animals are sleeping. That's when a lot of our spirits are sleeping. Everybody's just kind of holed up because it's cold and snowy in Wisconsin and other parts of Ojibwe country. And so it's a good time when we can talk and have those conversations. So we chose at the Society winter because of that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm Ojibwe, I'm Bad River, and I decided to let's give this a go. And the thing I love about this series, we started a few years ago, is not only do they share stories, but just by where we place these stories, that we're placing them in winter, we are communicating the importance of that cultural aspect, that there are some stories we share that can only be told in the winter, for example. So I like that it kind of offers that little aspect to it.
Yes. And why are the stories often about nature and woodland animals, like the hibernating animals?
Yeah, we have a few different ways of, they're not necessarily about, oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant they were about hibernating. We do have a lot of animal stories, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of more of their characters. But when we think about that, I'm thinking about Nana Buju, which is kind of our trickster. And he's the guy we don't talk about, certainly outside of winter. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, every culture, or I think most cultures, have tricksters in their lore, and they all have their own aspects about them and what they do and what naughtiness they get up to. And so that's one of the ones we don't really share, because we don't want to invite him in and make trouble for us, especially during the winter. So,
and he's a recurring character. He shows up in some of these stories again and again. There was one about the maple tree, the spirit of the maple tree. And
yep, he shows up in a lot of things. You know, original man there, not quite human, not quite God. Trickster, and he does all sorts of nonsense and naughtiness. But all of those stories, or a lot of those stories, I can't say all of them, I haven't heard all of them, but they're really about what not to do. So even though he's kind of a naughty character a lot of the times and making mischief, we still respect him because he's teaching us by his own naughtiness what not to do. And that's one of the things I love about our Ojibwe folklore is, you know, we do have a lot of like lesson stories, like you should eat this, not that, you know, all these things that are going to help keep us alive, and how to be a good person and a kind person. But we still respect Nana Buju because he is his teaching us in that way, that he's going through all these mistakes that we can learn from. So that's still a very, very important part. It's not like he's, I don't know, like the bad guy or something, like you might see in other stories. He's not the villain. He's there to teach us a lesson.
A lesson, yes. Liz Arbuckle with us as we talk about winter storytelling season. Liz is Northern Outreach Coordinator for the Wisconsin Historical Society. You can join in with questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Liz, what is your earliest memory of listening to someone tell you a winter story or to, you know, reciting some oral history?
Oh gosh. Well, I grew up on Bad River, where I still reside. I've been off and about a little bit, but here I'm back. I guess you grew up that way. You know, we hear it in the home. We hear stories, of course, from our elders, from our grandparents, aunties, uncles, parents, Head Start. I got a lot of new lessons because you've got family stories or stories they share, and then you go out and you hear things from other folks. So I'd say it started it all pretty very early on, and it's always been an interest of mine, right? And so I was glad to be able to share the series with folks.
What?
And one of the things I wanted to do with this series was make sure all six bands get represented. We have four per year, and they have been, which is wonderful. And but all of our storytellers, I'd say, I don't even think half would say I'm a storyteller, you know. Most of them are like, oh gosh, I'm not a storyteller. But everybody has stories, right? And once you sit down and you start thinking about it, they have a lot of amazing, interesting things to say and lots of great stories to share. And that, of course, is, I think, one aspect of our tribe, of our people. You know, we can be kind of humble about things like that. And you don't want to put yourself forward and be like, oh yeah, I know what I'm, you know. So it takes a lot of courage for these folks. And I've learned so much from them.
And this series is all women storytellers.
Yeah, this year it is all women. That was kind of, you know, the first year we had three men and one woman. The next year we went 2-2. This year it was supposed to be three women and one man, but he unfortunately couldn't follow through on that commitment. And I'd made the joke because, of course, I'm behind the series that I'm like, well, if anybody drops out, you know, I'm going to be your substitute. And lo and behold, it happened this year. So I'm like, okay, now it's time for me to step up to the plate. So that's just kind of how it worked out. But I love it because, especially our ladies, we don't often hear them on stages. You know what I mean? They're some of the best storytellers when it's just personal and sitting around the kitchen table. Or, you know, the living room, and they laugh and they're great storytellers. But I know I've noticed a trend that we don't see a lot of women doing that, right? So the whole aspect of this is I wanted to showcase and introduce Wisconsin people to Native or Ojibwe people as I know them. Right, as just these lovely people that I see when I go to a feast or to a store or just for a walk in the community. We have so much amazing resources and talents in our own communities that maybe aren't published authors or academics, but they have so much to share. And that's what I love about this series is that we're able to do that.
Oh, that connection is so beautiful. Liz Arbuckle, senior member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribal Council, our guide to winter storytelling season in this series from the Wisconsin Historical Society. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We explore how in Ojibwe culture, stories, they're told all year long, but winter especially is the season for storytelling. And the Wisconsin Historical Society's Ojibwe Storytelling Series, it elevates the voices of women storytellers throughout this month. You can call in with a question, share your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Liz Arbuckle is a senior member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribal Council and a storyteller in the series. And Liz, we asked you to bring a short story to share. Would you mind?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I'd love to. It was a little hard because I'm like, geez, what story can I tell at 7 o'clock in the morning? But I think I'm, you know, because some of these are kind of cozy up at night stories. But I've decided to share this story that was actually from my friend Val Barber. She taught me this one. She's one of our storytellers from last year. She's an Ojibwe language teacher. She taught my daughter Ojibwe language during COVID. Which is kind of how this series started. You know, we're trying to bring these stories right into your home so you can just log on Tuesday night and listen to me, and you can log on and listen to our former storytellers on our Historical Society YouTube page. Mm-hmm. So if you want to catch any of these other people, please do. But this story was taught to me by Val, and she said I could use it. And I love it because it's my daughter's favorite story. So the one she taught. And it's about Wawatasi, right? This little insect. So Wawatasi was out down by the river, just kind of chilling. He's watching all the goings on, you know, on the river. He's watching the swan take off. And he's watching the heron stand so beautifully. And then the heron takes off. But he's just a little ordinary looking gray bug. And he's just like, call me jeepers. You know, everybody, they're so beautiful and elegant and graceful. And here I just sit. And then as he's thinking these kind of sad thoughts, a loon starts up. And he's like, oh, good grief. Now this guy is serenading and he sounds beautiful. I'm just still this gray bug. And then the frogs start going. Right. And the frogs start jumping and hopping, and boy, they're having a good time. He's like, I can't do any of these things. So he's like, well, I'm going to try jumping. I think I can jump. Right. So he goes and he jumps, and all he ends up doing is falling off his leaf, not very gracefully, and on the ground. And now he's just super sad. So he's like, well, doggone it. Now what am I going to do? I wish I could just go home and give up, go back to bed. And all of a sudden, he heard this breeze came through, and he hears this on the wind, and it's the creator. And the creator's like, oh, Wawatasi, Wawatasi, why do you say you're not good at anything? He's like, why am I even here, creator? I'm not good at anything. I don't do anything for anybody. And he goes, oh, no, no, no. Embrace yourself. Love yourself. Don't have to fly gracefully or sing so pretty or jump so good. That's their talents. That's their gifts. That's what they do. But look inside yourself. Give yourself a hug. Just give yourself a hug. He's like, well, I don't know about this. He's like, trust me, I'm the creator. And he's like, okay. So little Wawatasi gives himself a little hug. And he's like, okay, well, that didn't do much. And he's like, no, come on, really believe it. Put your heart into it. Give yourself a really good hug. So Wawatasi gave himself a big hug. And he says, okay, now say, I can do it. I'm good. I'm here on this earth. I can do lots of good things. I'm important. And he's like, perfect. That's what we want to hear, Wawatasi. And he gave himself a really good hug. And then all of a sudden, boop, his little hind end lit up. It turns out that Wawatasi was a firefly. Oh. But he didn't know that. And then the creator said, see, you have an amazing gift and talent. Who else can do this? Who else can do this light up business? And he's like, okay, he goes, now go and tell your other friends and show them how, teach them how. And so he did. And the lesson, of course, is, you know, don't be sad and dissatisfied with who you are or where you're at or what you're doing. You have abilities you may not even have discovered yet. It's so important to keep you on this planet. It's so important what you have to contribute to this whole animal world, or in our case, the human world and animal world. So just keep embracing yourself and loving yourself and see just what might happen.
Oh, that was
And I
so
love that story so
beautiful.
much
Oh.
because she taught it to my daughter during, the beginning stages of COVID when we were all stuck home. And when we all needed that story, when we're all feeling sad and lonely and like, geez, I don't know what to do with myself. So it's a great story to share with others. It's a great story and a reminder for all of us. So that's why it's absolutely one of my favorite stories.
Oh, that was so special. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, we all have Wawatasee moments.
Exactly. Exactly.
What do your daughters think of the storytelling, and what do elders in the tribal council think of this?
So much good feedback, positive feedback. My daughters love it. Their peers do as well. Both my girls are in college now and they're having little watch parties in at their colleges for it. And we're having little watch parties around the state. But we've had thousands of people listen in. It's been really fantastic. And so we do have stories like that one, like kind of like, I guess you could qual I mean, a folklorist or an academic might qualify it as a how did that get to be kind of story, but also a lesson. But some of our folks just tell have also told, I should say, is histories. So they'll share histories of their community that maybe people don't know. And they share it from their own authentic voice, which is very different than just like reading it a book. So they'll say, my uncle was on the there, my auntie was on council at the time. So they just really make not only these delightful stories, like the one I just shared of Val's, but the histories come alive. And I've heard from a lot of teachers. Teachers love to use these stories, especially if it's kind of a cold day and they can't get outside. They can pop this video in, and it's a great lesson for the kids. And because the storytellers have such a varied background, you've got something like Lightning Bug, which anybody can learn from, but kind of maybe younger kids, and to like more complicated histories from some of our other storytellers that might be of interest to like high school or college age kids.
I love that. And you think about whenever then you see a firefly, you think of the story. You see the
Yes.
natural world in a whole new way.
Yes, and like you said, we've all been there.
Yes. So, what do you hope to do as you continue this storytelling series? January is wrapping up, but the stories continue. Where do you want to see these stories go?
Well, I love the fact that we're recording them and that they're going to live there forever. And I love the fact that all these people have their unique styles. So next year, we're hoping to continue it again. It may broaden, it may change. I'm not sure where they're going with that. But one of the positive benefits that I've since I've been doing this is I get emails or messages from Ojibwe people across this country and Canada. So every single reservation in Wisconsin, or Ojibwe reservation, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, Michigan, even Turtle Mountain out in North Dakota, they're all listening and they're talking and they're sharing. And I love that we're learning and getting the sounds like a terrible pun, getting the bands back together. They're able to talk to each other and communicate and share because we have different stories in our different places and our brothers and sisters up in Canada. So it's been, I really love that part. I really love that part that we can come around and share those stories.
Liz, this has been really special. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing your story.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Liz Arbuckle is a senior councilwoman on the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribal Council and Northern Outreach Coordinator for the Wisconsin Historical Society. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.